Hello, my name is Alex DeBoer, and this is your Vancouver COVID update. Today is Thursday, March 26th.
Finally, safe supply. The downtown east side is struggling with two health emergencies, COVID-19 and a poison illicit drug supply. To properly battle the COVID-19 epidemic, we must tackle the poison drug epidemic, something that has already cost us more than 1,000 lives in our city alone. So I am grateful to the federal government for enabling safe supply to move ahead, and now the province is hard at work to determine the rollout. We are standing by with the Community Action Team to help the roughly 20 to 30% of drug users not connected to the healthcare system to make sure they can access a safe supply once we have the details. For everyone else, our understanding is that safe supply will be enabled through existing physician relationships, but like I said, more details will be coming soon from the province.
After Mayor Kennedy Stewart announced safe supply would be coming to Vancouver's downtown east side, I reached out to Jonathan Orr and Trey Helton, who work with peers at a couple of Vancouver's overdose prevention sites. OPSs, or overdose prevention sites, are places where people can go to safely use drugs. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I can't reach anyone, but I'm sure it's fine. Now that I've at least tried, I feel like we can go ahead.
Okay, cool. One sec, I'm going to put a blanket over my head. As a means of creating a makeshift studio in my room. Cool. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to chat with me. Would you mind telling me who you are?
My name's Jonathan Orr. I'm the program manager of the Peer Services Department for Rain City Housing.
Okay, Trey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Great. Would you mind telling me who you are?
My name's Trey. I'm the manager at Overdose Prevention Society.
So I'm wondering if you can tell me just sort of what's the current situation with the St. Paul's OPS?
So with the St. Paul's OPS, we have put into place a number of new protocols. So basically in sequence, as we sort of were responding to all the directives from Vancouver Coastal Health, we began by limiting access to the trailer to 4 participants at a time. We luckily have enough room within the trailer to have the 4 tables that are there spread about 2 meters apart. The one major change to our overdose response is that we've been directed to not use the bag valve masks, right, which are the larger masks that VCH has indicated they're concerned about that aerosolizing the virus if a participant whom we're responding to had the virus. Mm. So we're not using that anymore, but that doesn't impact us too heavily because for various complicated reasons, we don't get a lot of the more severe overdoses at the trailer.
Okay.
So we are still using oxygen, but just with the latent masks and the low flow oxygen, so it doesn't go above 10. Rain City Housing has issued an org-wide directive for all its employees that rescue breathing is an individual choice.
Right.
So for Rain City Housing, in some ways, we are maybe better prepared, ironically, for this because the organization does not use oxygen in its housing sites. So for the time being, there haven't been any, observably negative impacts. Mm. I'm sure there's, been a handful of people, because we can't tell,
yeah,
there's maybe been a handful of people that have chosen not to use the site and maybe use the loan, but based on, qualitative observation, the impacts haven't been severe yet.
Mm. I was wondering how the Overdose Prevention Society you work at Hastings and Columbia, what it's like these days, how services have changed.
They've changed dramatically.
Yeah.
We are a peer-run site. We employ community members and downtown east side residents. We have 24 tables, which makes us unique compared to the other sites, because we have the most tables, and 12 of them are safe inhalation tables. 12 of them are injection room tables. And due to COVID-19, Vancouver Coastal Health has encouraged us to close our inhalation tent.
Yeah.
And shut down our injection room to only 6 booths, providing a 2-meter distance between each booths. We've also shut down our chill area, which could house up to 12 people who may be suffering from being outside and being cold, or dehydrated, or just, you know, running on empty from being awake for days on end.
Mm-hmm.
That whole space has been shut down too, so we're basically running at 3/4 capacity right now, with just 6 booths. So right. We have 3 staff members running the injection room, and we have 3 staff members walking the alleyway, because our regular participants we're just handing out gear and encouraging them to use in the alleyway where we can monitor them as best as possible.
Okay, because you can't fit them all anymore?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just because of regulations.
Yeah.
That's the first big change. The second big change is the announcement from Vancouver Coastal Health and Portland Hotel Society that oxygen, the use of oxygen, spreads COVID-19 into the air in an mm-hmm. enclosed space. So, oxygen is the main one of the main weapons we have to fight against overdoses. It's actually more important than naloxone. Naloxone's really important, but oxygen is more important, because after 3 to 5 minutes, if the brain is deprived of oxygen, there can be permanent damage. So as a result, it's changing every day, some of the information about COVID-19, but right now it's pretty scary. We're warning participants when they come in not to do as much as they normally would. Don't get obliterated. If it's new dope that you're trying out, please be careful with it. Just because we're not allowed to use oxygen. And if we're not allowed to use oxygen, you could be in serious trouble if you use too much. The other really scary thing is that of all the Downtown Eastside safe injection sites right now, the Molson has been shut down for a week. Mm-hmm. And Insight, which usually has 13 booths, is only using 6 booths. So out of the probably 2,000 users within the Downtown East Side, there's only 12 booths. There's 6 booths that are running at ops between the hours of 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. or 9 p.m., 8 a.m. and 9 p.m. And there's 6 booths at Insight. So that's 12 booths for the entire Downtown East Side.
Yeah.
For 2,000 people who are using. It's pretty freaking frightening.
So, I don't know, based on the location of the OPS, I don't know exactly your demographic makeup of users, but do you see a difference when welfare checks are distributed once a month? Did you notice any difference yesterday, for example?
Actually, all I noticed yesterday was it was quieter than
okay.
it would normally be.
Hmm. Okay.
Which was curious, but also not unsurprising given the present situation. So, you know, we've heard at least rumors that supply was low,
mm-hmm.
so it may have taken people longer to get supply. Of course, if it takes people longer to get supply, then there'll be dope sick sooner, and so they may use downtown. The community up near the trailer is quite a different community, so there's not as much supply up there, not as many dealers up there.
Mm-hmm.
So often people are in the Downtown East Side to get their supply and to head up to the trailer if that's where they are, you know, if that's where their friends are.
Mm-hmm.
So it may have been that, may have been quiet for that reason. It's hard to sort of tell, but it was a little mm-hmm. quieter yesterday, yeah.
I'm used to check days where everyone gets their check, and it's just a big 3-day like mess
mm-hmm.
from basically Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then continuing through Saturday and Sunday. But like those 3 days are just like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's been really, really quiet. because people are having problems cashing their checks. Just due to lineups, only so many people allowed in a space at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Different cash checking places are staggered, so people have been having to go up to the drive to get their checks.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's just been a slow, it's actually a good thing. It's been a slow trickle of just people getting their money and not a whole bunch of ODs at once. So that's actually a really good thing.
These reports we're hearing of, you know, the illicit drug supply running out because of, you know, borders being closed and a variety of reasons. So we just learned today that, I assume partly in response to that, the mayor and the province are going to be providing safe supply in Vancouver. And of course, he hasn't announced many details yet. The province is apparently going to be rolling those out over the next couple of days. I'm just wondering what your initial reactions are to that.
Well, I mean, it's hugely exciting and hugely frustrating in equal measure. You know, whether almost everything that's been fought for, whether it's an overdose prevention site itself or every sort of innovation, necessary innovation that's happened, you know, is triggered by a crisis, is triggered by either people actually dying or the threat of people dying.
Mm-hmm.
And it's exhausting that this is what is required for policy to change. And it's exhausting because this isn't policy that is, you know, just supported by the drug using community, which should in and of itself be enough, but supported across the board by medical experts, by absolutely everybody, and yet nothing was done until we reached this point. That being said, I mean, crises are always, unfortunately, times of very quick scaling up of innovation, and it's my hope that this is, that we simply, this is the new normal and we don't go backwards, and that whatever is set up will be the new minimum, and that finally we listen to the people that have been telling us that this is the solution, at least part of the solution to the fentanyl poisoning crisis, and that that this is made permanent.
It's really, really great. Good job. Yeah, I've just read basically a little bit about it right now. It looks like they'll be providing opiate prescription as well as stimulant prescriptions for those who may use just stimulants.
Wow, where are you reading that? Just curious.
On the Vancouver Coastal Health page.
Okay.
I can send you the link after.
Sure. Yeah, I hadn't seen any specifics up yet, so.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
Who knows what it's going to look like?
Mm-hmm.
Like them saying it and it's happening is a really, really good thing. I don't know what it's going to look like, but for now, that's a win. Let's just take it. Let's congratulate everyone.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of other things that still need to be done.
Well, that's good to see, because I know one of the fears, like my colleague Sam Fenn was saying, you know, he was concerned whether stimulants would be supplied as well.
Yeah.
Because that's often left out. So that's good.
Yeah.
Since we know just a few of the details right now, I'm wondering, do you have any kind of questions top of mind that you would want to ask the province about this drug supply, if you could?
Yeah, what's it going to look like? Is it going to be pharmaceutical-grade heroin? Are we going to get pharmaceutical-grade fentanyl? What's it going to look like?
Yeah.
Is it going to be diacetylenamorphine? Is it going to be Dilaudins? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of drugs are these people going to be getting? Because it's like, as from my point of view as a former drug user, it's not just the drugs that I was that I was addicted to. It's also the process of cooking the drugs. I found when I quit, I still yearned for, as weird as it sounds, like the whole process and the ritual of getting my dope, putting my dope in the cooker or my spoon or my little kit that I had, cooking it and then injecting it myself.
Yeah.
So like, I'm interested to know what kind of drugs it'll be, and you know, if it'll be like just handed out for people to use.
Yeah.
And do what they want with it.
Um, Well, thank you for sharing your thoughts and updating me on the St. Paul's OPS. I would maybe leave you by asking if there's maybe one question that is burning in your mind that you would like to ask the province right now about the details of this promised safe supply.
I have so many questions. Yeah. It's hard to know. I think that maybe my burning question, it would be, so there's this, you know, this idea that people talk about their values all their time, you know, mm-hmm. and governments do that all the time. They talk about, they care about this community, they care about that community, which is easy to do and means nothing. And mm-hmm. so my question would be to the city of Vancouver, who've been pushing for this and have some movement from the federal government. They're in a position now where the government is needing to respond and have to respond quickly to say, to ask for guarantees, you know, to say, right. Don't talk about your values. We don't care about that. Enshrine this in a budget, enshrine this in a policy, lock this. Because one of the things that happens to marginalized communities all the time, whether it's new programs or new funding or whatever it is, Salome, Naomi, all these projects, all this energy goes into these pilot projects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cruel. People get a sense of hope. They get a sense that people do care about them. They get a sense that people are doing the sensible thing, and then the carpet is pulled out from them again. So I would ask the province or the city, what are they going to do to make sure that that does not happen to this community yet again, that the federal government give them some rock solid assurances and commitments that this is not a pilot project, because that could ultimately do more harm than good.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, we'll see whether Vancouver Coastal Health will involve the OPSs in the Downtown East Side to where people can use, or if they'll be involved in the distribution process or what. Obviously, you haven't heard anything about VCH involving the OPS you work at.
No, I haven't. But talking to you about it right now, like, if they're gonna do safe supply, they're gonna need more OPSs, because mm-hmm. if there's only Insight running at 6 tables and OPS running at 6 tables, and there's 2,000 users within the Downtown East Side, that's just my guesstimate, that's not an accurate number.
Yeah.
And you only got 12 tables between that, just with the 2 meter spacing between, you're gonna need to roll out some more OPSs.
Okay, well, thanks so much, and
no problem,
take care.
Parties.
Yeah,
okay.
Talk later.
Okay,
bye-bye. Thanks so much. Take care.
Yeah, later.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
While new provincial guidelines are being established, Vancouver Coastal Health now has COVID-19 withdrawal management prescriber guidelines on their website. These guidelines include prescribing for opioids, stimulants, illicit benzodiazepines, tobacco, alcohol, and cannabis. Thank you for listening. The track you heard is Order of Entrance by Blue Dot Sessions. Special thanks to Trey Helton and Jonathan Orr. Take care.